public decision to deny or to table it. I'm talking to the audience because this is their audio tape. Once they'll be up for our files. By this letter of
Steve Sorensen, I'm the Assistant Zoning Administrator for Conservation Planning and Zoning. Today's request is for a special exception permit to authorize filling and grading of more than 2,000 square feet on slopes of 12-20% during the construction of a new residence. The history, the property is located in the Shoreland Protection Zoning District on real estate described as E12085 Gruber's Grove Road, part of the Southeast Quarter, Section 24, Township 10 North, Range 6 East in the town of Sumter. A permit has been issued in 2000 to replace the septic system with a holding tank. Previous appeals in May 25th of 2000, a variance for a proposed deck within the Shoreland setback was denied, and no citations were found on the property. Findings of fact, when reviewing a special exception proposal for a special exception in the Shoreland Protection District, the Board of Adjustment looks at several criteria, including the conditions in Sections 8.08.3 and the provisions specified in Sections 8.14.3(b) and 8.14(3)(c). Sections 8.08(3)(a)(2) provides that a special exception permit is required for filling or grading of more than 2,000 square feet on slopes of 12-20% of any area which is within 300 feet landward of the ordinary high water mark. Surrounding properties to the west, east, and north is developed and vacant residential properties, and to the south is Lake Wisconsin. Floodplain map panel is in effect 12-15-09. There is a floodplain to Lake Wisconsin. There are no map wetlands in this area. And Lake Wisconsin is a navigable body of water. Plan Commission and Town Recommendations. The Town Board of Sumter is aware of the appeal and has made to the Board of Adjustment for this project. So I have no comments from the board, in other words. They've given nothing to us. Planning and zoning recommendations, do you want that now or should I show the video? Okay. All work on and use of premises shall proceed with the plans and supplemental evidence presented at the hearing. It is the responsibility of the applicant to ensure all required town, state, federal, and county permits within 1 year of the hearing date. County permits required for this approval include permits for the construction of a residence, septic system, and filling and grading. B, no work shall be commenced prior to receiving the Board of Adjustment decision letter and securing the required permits. C, erosion control shall be installed and maintained until the site is stabilized, revegetated, for the plan submitted at the time of the application. D. This project shall not increase the stormwater runoff onto neighboring properties. E. Sauk County Conservation Planning and Zoning shall be granted permission to view the site to ensure compliance with these conditions and other relevant provisions of the Sauk County ordinances. The power to ensure compliance with these conditions is given to the Sauk County Conservation Planning and Zoning. If this department finds that any of these conditions have been violated, they are hereby authorized to take corrective action, either through suspension of the permit, citation, or by means of enforcement that is within their power. F. Failure by the applicant to follow all the conditions set forth by the Sauk County Board of Adjustment is grounds for suspension or revocation of the special exception permit and possible enforcement action. In order to have the special exception permit reinstated after suspension, the applicant must comply with all conditions established by the Board of Adjustment as determined by the Sauk County Conservation Planning and Zoning Director or appear in front of the Board of Adjustment. In order to have the special exception permit reinstated after revocation, the applicant must appear in front of the Board of Adjustment for a new hearing and comply with all requirements as outlined in this letter. Okay. So if you want, I can go through the pictures. So on the passenger one, top photo is the entrance to the driveway. You can see the fire number, and I'm looking west at the town road coming into the property. Same page, second picture is again looking at the fire number from the driveway, but this is more from the southwest view, and you can get a picture of the house in that photo. On page two, top picture is again the entrance to the property. The second picture on page two is the front view of the house from the town road, and you can see the well in the foreground. Page three is again from the town road, looking at kind of the west side of the lot. On page three, this is at the front, looking west. Yes, Dan? Yes. Yes.
The fence to the right.
Yes.
And the new dwelling will.
Yes.
And therefore, that area, this arrow, all front, arrow or.
Yes. In fact, you're going to see some orange stakes in the front yard. I believe those stakes are the footprint for the new house. So that's an issue. They're going to have to show us how they're going to control the water on that lot.
Okay.
Yes, it is further. In fact, I think the new house is sitting in front of the old house for the most part. Again, the second lot page, second picture, page three, is just of the shoreline looking west, and that's from the southeast corner looking west. Page four is from that same southeast corner looking at the house from the water. Second page on page four is on the pier looking at the house from the waterfront. Page five I'm in the southwest corner of the lot, looking east, again, at the waterfront. And again, second photo on page 5 is the southwest corner looking northeast, and in that picture you can see the fire pit by the water and the house again. On page 6, top photo is, again, that southwest corner looking north along, and you can see the west property line, that fence, and the that work truck is actually on the town road in the background. And then on the lower picture on page 6 is the west side of the house, what that looks like, and you'll see some landscaping, a little patio and retaining wall there. On page 7, I'm standing in the northwest corner of the lot looking south, and that's pretty much the west side of the lot and the house, west side of the house. And again, the second picture is just another angle from that northwest corner looking southeast. Page 8, top photo, is again, I'm on the west property line looking east now. And if you notice, my work truck is in their driveway. So I'm looking out across the front of the lot now. And the lower photo is again just the front of the house, a little closer view of the front of the house. And page 9, if you look in the lower part, you'll see the holding tank. I just wanted to show where the holding tank is, and that's on the east side of the house next to the driveway. The holding tank is going to be removed and replaced with a new septic system. Video? Okay, I'm on the driveway. Again, that's the fire number, front of the house, the lot. There's the house. Again, I'm standing on the driveway. And I'm on the town road, or just off the town road, looking at the front of the house now. The view of the lot there. And then that would be the neighbor to the east, town road in the front. There's a big open area in front of the town road. In the driveway, this is the east side of the lot. And that holding tank is... southeast corner of the lot, the lake side of the lot, pretty tight in there. I think it's around 40 feet to the water. I'm on the pier now, looking at the lakefront side of the house. Fire pit. Well, someone forgot to turn off the video. Moving to the next page. Bear with me. Yeah, so this next one will show the west side of the house, if I'm hearing. So again, here's the west side. That's the neighbor to the west. You can just make out the house there. In here. Eating again. I didn't want to see it the first time. That is terrible. I hope not. Okay, I'm on the west side now, panning across the lot. This is the west side of the house here. See a little patio, a little retaining wall area. Thanks for the new house. This is the west side of the lot. Yes, it's they've got to meet my minimum side yard road setback. see the well there in the middle of the lawn. It's holding things out of the house.
Daniel J. Patzner, 4473 Shooting Star Avenue, Middleton, Wisconsin. Okay, my wife and I would like to build a home, a permanent residence at that property. The current building was built in the 40s or early 50s. It's a one-bedroom home, so it's too small. We have three children. That's like to spend a lot of time up there with us. Let's see. So far, we've gone through followed the process the way we're supposed to. Before we even knew about the special exception, we had hired Quang Engineering out of McFarland to do the erosion control plan for us, and that's for during the construction and also what the final would be with your swales and your retaining walls, things like that. We did meet with the Sauk County Zoning Administrators, Steve. We had him on site along with, I believe it was Brian, before we began the process to make sure that we were following all of the ordinances. And just more of a learning experience of what we had to do to go through this process. When we did present this to the county, they actually did approve. I have a letter. I do not have it here, though, but I did a letter, and they had approved it that night. One of the comments from one of the town board folks was, "We, with the materials we presented, it was the most organized and well-prepared that they'd ever seen, so they felt comfortable with the plan that was laid out." We have hired surveyors a couple of times now. They're out there to mark where the house is going, and also where the proposed septic system is. I do want to point out those tall stakes that you saw in the pictures and also on the video are not where the house goes. That is the do not disturb area for the septic system. The house is staked out, but their stakes are only about 2 inches high. And the fence is about 4 feet off of the property line. Right now it's not all the way over to the property line. So people are aware of that if they see stakes and think it's close to the property line. Right now, we do have some erosion problems, and the township uses a lot of sand on that road in the wintertime, and that runs down along the front of our yard. If you notice from the photos and the video, you'll see that the ground along the front of the house is kind of like a curve, and then it all runs down the driveway, which is really close to the lake, and a lot of that sand either stops at the end of the driveway or continues out into the lake. And so we do have on the Quang Engineering plan, we can go through the details if you want, but they do have swales put in there, and there will be a culvert by the driveway, so more of that water is going to be coming into the front yard than what does today, so there won't be so much runoff down to the lake. I'm not an expert in that, but I call it a settling area, but it's soaked in before it gets to the concrete. The current driveway that's there will not be there. That'll be grass also, so that will help them have a chance to see them before it's done. But it would also, while it's in the front yard, before it gets to the culvert, chance to.
What is the footprint of the house there?
Is it about 700-800 square feet? why. It is on that map. The drawing. Is it on there, Chris?
So this map, the house that's going on here, is that...
That's the existing one.
And the new one will be within the building? It's showing exactly how far...
Well... It's a little more than 1,400 square feet. It should be.
Can I have this?
And we did work to make sure that with Steve and his team to make sure that we are conforming to all of the setbacks from the lake, from the sides, and also the height restrictions. That's where all of the water goes now, is down that country driveway, and it will still go down there, but there should be less of it going down there because that has a chance to run into the yard before it gets there. Oh yeah, there's none that comes down the other side of the lot. If you look at those photos, you'll see the road is lower than the ground. The trees by the water, they're all going to stay there with the exception there's a white birch tree that is dying and it's leaning toward where the house is, so that will be taken down beforehand. And then there's a pine tree, and I had Mr. Moyer from Moyer Landscaping out, and that tree is also diseased and it's leaning toward the house, so we're going to take that one down. But there's three other large trees back there that will stay in the back of the yard. Yeah, we have a landscaping plan. I can't recall if there was going to be more planted. The three big trees, the pine trees growing up inside one of the other ones anyway, should have never been planted that close to it. Okay.
What is the square footage?
The total square footage is it around 4,000?
4,700.
That's counting the basement being
fixed
out of the exposed.
I don't know if you could answer this question, but I was noticing that in the building envelope, the highest point is 786, and the fourth house and garage can be at 789.5.
Yeah, the county road goes down the front of the places at a slope, so the road is actually going to be higher than the top of the foundation on the the west side of the property, and then the garage will be higher than the road on the east side property.
And you're counting, there are counting the
right, that's why we're going to have a culvert so the water can come into the yard and then have a chance to soak in before it comes out the other side.
Okay.
But that water, all that water right now goes down that toward that driveway that you saw. And I, the sand is there. I don't know if, did you notice the sand at the end of the driveway down where you parked? That's all that from the runoff there. And when it rains hard, that goes right out to the lake. And that shouldn't happen. I mean, the grass should be able to catch a lot of that sand before it ever gets down there. Right during the construction? Yes, during the construction, yep.
Question? Favor?
Did you ever say aye?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Hopefully you won't have much rain.
Steve Sorensen, Planning and Zoning. Today's request is for a variance to authorize a proposed addition to a residence within the minimum rear yard setback. The property is owned Resource Conservancy 35 on real estate described as S3926 Old Highway 33 and is part of the Northeast Corridor, Southwest Corridor, Section 21, Township 12 North, Range 6 East in the town of Baraboo. Permits, the department has records of a permit dating back to 2003. No previous appeals were found and no citations. Findings of fact, when reviewing a variance appeal, the Board of Adjustment looks at several criteria, including unique property limitations, the protection of public interest, and proof of an unnecessary hardship. Section 7.10(3)(e) of the Sauk County Zoning Ordinance provides that there shall be a rear yard of not less than 75 feet in depth in which no structure shall be erected. The status of this was changed to legal nonconforming when the town of Baraboo adopted Resource Conservancy District 35 in August of 1998. Surrounding properties to the north, south, and east is agricultural with a few residential properties, and to the west is agricultural and forested lands. Floodplain and wetlands, a floodplain map panel with an effective date of 5/15/09, the site is not located within a floodplain. There are no mapped wetlands on this site. Plan Commission town recommendation, the town of Baraboo is in favor of the board granting this variance request. Planning and zoning recommendations. Planning and zoning recommends that the following conditions be considered by the board and should the board grant the variance. Should the board grant this variance. A. All work on and use of the premises shall proceed with the plans and supplemental evidence presented at the hearing. It is the responsibility of the applicant to secure all required town, state, federal, and county permits prior to commencing the construction. The county requires a land use permit to be secured. B. Sauk County Conservation and Planning and Zoning shall be granted permission to view the site to ensure compliance with these conditions and other relevant provisions of the Sauk County ordinances. The power to ensure compliance with these conditions is given to the Sauk County Conservation, Planning, and Zoning. If the department finds that any of these conditions have been violated, they are hereby authorized to take corrective action, either through suspension of the permit, citations, or by any means of enforcement that is within their power. Page. So if you want, I can go through the photos real quick. I'm on a 5-1 right now. The top photo is again from the driveway. You'll see their trailer number off to the left, and I'm looking from, again, the driveway by the fire number, looking east. That second photo on page one is, again, the house is to the left and the driveway is to the east. On page two, I'm up by the garage, looking north, and kind of behind the pickup, between the pickup and the LP tank, is where the new addition is going to go. That's kind of the backyard where the house is, the addition is going to be attached to that east side of the house. And again, that second picture, that lower picture on page two, is the east side of the house. That's where the addition is going. I'm on page three. I'm standing by the east side of the house looking east at the backyard, and you can see the backyard is basically forested. And now I'm standing on the east side of the lot looking west at the east side of the house, and that's the footprint of the proposed addition. Yes. Yes. I'm assuming right near the woods lawn area is about where the property line and or stars, yep. And then on page 4, again, I'm just in the backyard. I'm kind of in the northeast corner of the lot, just kind of looking at the proposed building addition that will go on that side of the house. Yes. 25 feet. The new Chapter 7 will reflect all the ordinances, will go to the 25 foot. Under the resource district now at 75, the new ordinance language will bring it back to 25. So it's consistent for the inspectors that everything is the same. Probably within the next year, I would say this time next year it should be in place. Yes, ma'am.
The garage itself, is it in non-compliance now?
Yes. Yes, the existing garage, if you look, let me find a good photo here. If you go to page 1, you'll see that existing garage, that detached garage, that was built prior to the zoning ordinance, and all it had done was had new siding put on it. So that ordinance within the setback was just there historically. I think the applicant had told me it was built in the 30s.
Grandfathered.
Right, it's grandfathered in.
Then if you look at this here,
yes.
even when it's changed, still will be, well, of course, if it's grandfathered in, then it'll 17 feet.
Okay. Right. Yep. It's a legal non-conforming. Good. Okay, again, I'm at the town road and driveway. You can see the fire number. This is the driveway going into the house. There's our county vehicle right there. Again, town road. Front of the house. You can see how wooded it is around the house. Basically tucked in the forest. You can't even see the neighbors on either side. This is the driveway for the neighbor's house. And again, you can see the canopy, the forest around that house, neighbor's driveway to the south. Now I'm in the near the house. This is the south side of the house. You just moved away in the existing garage. And on the back side, the east side of the house, again, future building footprint in the backyard. Now I'm in the backyard looking west at the future, the proposed building site, the east side of the house, the north side of the yard, and then it's forest again. And backyard, future building footprint. And that would be the north side of the house right there. Got a view of the backyard, the forest in the backyard. It's thick, you really can't see the neighbors from this footprint.
Hello.
With neighbors on either side, but because of the forest, really can't pick them up. I would refer to the applicant, maybe in the winter when the leaves are off, you could see them, but with the leaves on, I couldn't see a house on either side. The closest would be the highway, the new highway that went in, and that's probably, and again, I'll ask the applicant, but hundreds of feet away.
Aerial part of the property. Thank you. Thank you. Larry Landrum. Sorry, I'm a little. S 3926 Old Highway 33, Bearable. Well, what we're trying to do is establish a larger bedroom to the rear of the home. The property behind our home makes a severe incline, so the property is, in fact, very difficult. If someone would try to build on that property, they'd have a very difficult time. The encroachment will only be 13 feet into the existing setback. It will still allow 62 feet of backyard on my property. I met with the town of Baraboo, and they did not object to the new building. And Steve's here, and basically that's what we're trying to establish.
As part of
well, it's a hardship in regards to the uniqueness of the property in terms of the setback. The property behind our property, like I said, it is virtually unbuildable. Because of the, well... Right. Exactly.
How long?
The house was built probably, or the on the location, I think 2001, possibly somewhere in there. I'm not quite sure. We bought it in 2002 or 3. Well, actually, I did a lot of remodeling to the home, so we've changed the complete structure of the home with the addition we put on in 2004. That's why I put the aerial photo there. It's just, there's just nothing behind us for a 3/4 mile that would influence any personal or public, you know, hardship. There's no way we could build any further to either side of the home. We would be in violation at that point with the lot lines, right? We sold a home, and we are really cramped for space in this home, so we would like to get the construction started now versus waiting another 9 months or a year for the next building season.
Go up first.
that I don't think property. I don't. Wait. Yes.
Looking at the.
Believe that having eyes is us.
Oh, I see. This eye.
This is a difficult one for me. This hardship, this burden, it is a death. Yeah. And I know it's in the past, and that's kind of a better. However, I'm not sure it meets the first Asian size of the addition. It's a 75 feet area. Ooh, the sliver of that's not reasonable. Going on to the size of the lot. When you look at the property, that's public interest. Albeit, it is going in the firm house now. Good goal. Wait. Almost, yeah.
Roger. Hi, Jared. Bye. other
government's part. Well, I'm not sure I can go along. But there was no car here. And I could get another 4 years. Well, I really think this is one of the hardest things for full code hard problem.
I guess we're not allowed to use common sense. The town board has no problem with this. I don't see where it's a problem. But I'm like Henry. I can't find the hardship in it. I feel for the people. I think that issue would fit in there well. And I don't know if the house is built structurally. It gained more room. I mean, I realize that it costs more, but it's just not.
I'm having the same problem. I can't. It just doesn't make sense. Especially if we are going to change it to allow them to do it, and that is the most logical place to put it. Perfect for them in every way. Probably the least expensive for them in every way. But I can't see it as a unnecessary part either. To meet all three of the etiquette. Why? I hate to say it, because as he said, if it would be 25 feet, he'd be more than well in within that. He'd put two additions on. I would have to stand. Doesn't follow.
I did promise, but there's been several court cases. So they have paid getting it there. Very, very has to be very hardship is that it can't be there's cliff behind the house a blast away like that. And so wanting a larger space that works a larger space. Absolutely. With that, I don't see the hardship. I'm that
well, I was just this is supposed to change so that they would be within the next year, is that correct? Can we table this until that goes through so that they wouldn't have to pay to come back? Oh, then that's right. All right. Yeah, I didn't think it all the way. Then they can do whatever.
So,
there, but
that was
Steve Sorensen, Planning and Zoning. Today's request is for a special exception permit to authorize the location and operation of a private landfill. The property is located in an ag zoning district on real estate described as part of the Northwest Quarter, Southeast Quarter, Section 22, Township 12 North, Range 6 East, Town of Baraboo. No permits have been found previously. In previous appeals, December 22, 1994, a special exception permit was granted to allow for mineral extraction on this site. No citations on the property. Findings of fact. When reviewing a special exception proposal, the Board of Adjustment reviews the proposed site to show that the approval shall be consistent with the general purpose and intent of the ordinance and to show the desirability of the proposed location for the specific proposed use from the standpoint of the public interest. Because of such factors as, without limitation because of enumeration, smoke, dust, noxious or toxic gases or odors, noise, vibration, operation of heavy machinery, heavy vehicular traffic, and increased traffic on public streets. Section 7.05, paren 2, paren 1, that's paren small l, 19 of the Sauk County Zoning Ordinance provides that a special exception permit is required for mineral extraction activities. This site was granted a special exception permit for mineral extraction in 1994. The permit was limited to a period of 5 years. There is a record of that permit being renewed since that time. Surrounding properties? Yes. Anybody? It says there is a record of that permit being renewed. Okay. Surrounding properties to the north and east, the current permitted mineral extraction sites are to the north and east. To the south is agriculture and a few residential properties. Floodplain, with the effective date of 12/15/09, this site is not located within a floodplain and there are no mapped wetlands on this site. Plan Commission and Town Recommendation, the Town of Baraboo is aware of this appeal and has been filed with the Sauk County Board of Adjustment. No response. Plan Commission Chair is here if you want to talk to him. Planning and Zoning Recommendations. Planning and Zoning recommends that the following conditions be considered by the Board of Adjustment or the Board should the Board grant the special exception permit. A. All work on and use of the premises shall proceed with the plans and supplemental evidence presented at the hearing. It is the responsibility of the applicant to secure all required town, state, federal, and county permits within 1 year of the hearing date. B. No work shall be commenced prior to receiving the Board of Adjustment decision letter and securing the required permits. C. The site shall operate under the terms and during the hours as presented by the applicant. The permit shall be limited to 5 years and may be renewed by the Board of Adjustment when expired. D. The permit shall not be transferable. E. The landfill shall only accept clean material. F. The Sauk County Conservation Planning and Zoning shall be granted permission to view the site to ensure compliance with these conditions and other relevant provisions of the Sauk County ordinances. The power to ensure compliance with these conditions is given to the Sauk County Conservation Planning and Zoning. If the department finds that any of these conditions have been violated, they are hereby authorized to take corrective action, either through suspension of the permit, citations, or by any means of enforcement that is within its power. G. Failure of the applicant to follow all of these conditions set forth by the Sauk County Board of Adjustment is grounds for suspension or revocation of the special exception permit and possible enforcement action. In order to have the special exception permit reinstated after suspension, the applicant must comply with all conditions established by the Board of Adjustment as determined by the Sauk County Conservation Planning and Zoning Director or appeal in front of the Board of Adjustment. In order to have the special exception permit reinstated after revocation, the applicant must appear in front of the Board of Adjustment for a new hearing and comply with all requirements as outlined in this letter. There should be a total of 7 pages. Yes. Yeah, clean is basically rock, gravel, sand, topsoil, stumps, parts of trees, branches, and even clean concrete. What's not clean is like painted wood, shingles, stuff like that. So basically it's more or less natural material, nothing other than concrete. But other than that, it's pretty much natural material.
Perfect. Oh, great. Oh. Burning?
Burning is allowed with a burning permit. Great. So pictures, I'm on, this is 5-1 of the pictures. Top picture is the entrance to the proposed site. And I'm looking, I'm on the town road, that would be Fox Hill Road looking west. And again, the lower picture on page one is again, looking at the southeast corner of the proposed site, and the town road is in the foreground. Yeah.
The zone, the site,
if you look at the top photo, there's a driveway going to an area, and then there's another driveway that branches off that runs parallel to the town road that goes to another lower area down here. And you're going to see in the video there's some stockpile of just rock and topsoil in that lower area. So there's actually two driveways, they just fork off when you go into the site. So on page two, top of the page, I'm looking at that driveway now, looking south at that driveway going to the lower area. That's the top photo. The lower picture on page two is looking west at a site they're using for dumping of that clean material. And you'll see sand, topsoil, and it looks like even broken pieces of concrete in that mix of dump truck loads there. On page three, I'm standing on top of the stockpile area looking at the southeast corner of the site. This is a lower depressional area. You can see some standing water at the bottom of the pit. And all of the water from this site does just sink into this lower area. So nothing really leaves the site. It all just drains to this hole, if you will. This is the lower part of the property. You can see a stockpile of rock parallel to the town road, and then just an area for, like a parking area for driving equipment. The second picture on page three is the upper area, again, just showing some of the different types of material being stockpiled up on top. On page four, top is showing some stumps being stockpiled on the west side of this dump site. And the lower picture is, again, just standing on top of a stockpile looking at the west side and the north side. And then behind the trees on this lower picture, this is the milestone batch plant site that's in the background. That white behind the trees, that's another mine site. That's the milestone material site. That's their batch plant site. I believe it's been hauled in. Now, this operator is not the operator. Milestone Materials was the previous operator, or I should say the current operator of this site. So how they used it is you know, it's what was done historically. I've got a new operator with Bloom on this. So, again, I'm on page five now. I'm kind of standing kind of in the middle of the stockpile area. You'll see some stockpiles off to the left, and just some of the old material is starting to revegetate. And you'll see that in the lower picture below. I'm standing on top of the old stockpile, and if you leave these dirt piles alone, they will start growing again, just with the seed bank they have in the dirt itself. No, it's basically an active site. The previous operator, it was a mine site. They were taking material out or bringing material in or using it as stockpiling. On page six, I'm in the southeast corner of the pit, and I'm looking west, and that is a topsoil stockpile in the background. And that lower picture is just looking west in the lower pit area, and you'll see that little rocks off to the left, and just kind of like a parking area or work staging area there. Page seven, I'm kind of standing where the two roads connect, looking west at that stockpile area. And that lower picture is the, again, row of breaker rock or rock that runs parallel to a Fox Hill Road. Milestone wants to get rid of this site. They're in a position now that they have to, the owner wants the site reclaimed by the end of the year. So they're in a position to either reclaim it, and instead of reclaiming it, there's still a big hole in this site. So instead of reclaiming it with a hole on the site, this operator's come in saying, listen, I'm willing and prepared to fill this hole in, return it to farmland, as is what I think its final use is. And there's a farm field that the current owner has adjacent to the south of this pit. So the goal would be that this pit would be filled in and returned to farmland 10 years from now. That would be the goal. It's all just coming in with the goal of making it a farm field 10 years from now. Yes. And I believe this operator would try to save the topsoil for a future covering to bring it to a farmland field.
Next. Steve, when the special exception permit issued originally,
yes,
it says that there's a complete and detailed reclamation program that set up.
The current operator, Milestone, does have a plan in place with our office to reclaim this site, but they don't want to do that because this operator is willing to come in, and instead of reclaiming it, he wants to fill the rest of the pit in to return it to a farm field 10 years from now. So instead of reclaiming it, this operator is saying, hey, I can do something better here for the landowner. We'll return this to a farm field instead of a sloped grass site or forested site. Yes. Bloom will be responsible for a new bond. Yes. 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 Neil? Again, this is Fox Hill Road looking north. This is the driveway going into the site. That second driveway branching off going into a lower area. So it's got a fill area and a depression area over here. Fox Hill Road looking south. And this is the driveway going into the property. This is back tiles. And then the driveway going south. And there's a loader in that lower area. And this is going down that driveway to the lower area. And you'll see the stockpiles off to the right. This is the rocks in the lower area again. That staging area for the loader. That hospital stockpile in that lower area. These are the stockpiles in the main fill area. That's probably 20 feet high. The hole I was standing in is probably 20 feet deep. And you'll see it's tractor going down the road there. This hill area, tactile area. And that's, again, looking north. These are essentially the property line. No, everything goes into the pit. Nothing leaves the pit. So that's the good news. Nobody's really affected by runoff from this site. Everything stays within the pit. And you can see some of the old stockpiles are reclaiming themselves. This is the old Milestone in the background. This comes from refilled on the west side. And that's to the far west. The old mining is south. The old south area. I think all they're doing is bringing in fill to fill a hole. They're just dumping various material, broken concrete, sand, gravel, topsoil, or
appearing, it's not true topsoil. It's more like contaminated topsoil that might have rock or something in it. This is the far west side of the property, and you can see it's probably 20, 30 feet deep at this point. Yes, yes.
I do. Dean Bloom, E12023 Manchester Road, Faribault. I just plan on filling the hole in with clean material. Some of the dirt on top we salvage or save to put back over the stumps and that, so eventually something will grow on it. And that's what Ryan Yerkes, the owner, would like to make a farm field out of eventually. Yes. Well, I mean, they could do a no-till, I guess. 10 years. Locally, the city, the towns, like, for road excavation, basements, broken water lines when we dig them up. No. And then concrete, most of that is very little that, unless it's mixed with something that could, like the city of Bear will recycle that, or Milestone recycles concrete too, and asphalt.
Neighbor? Oh. Tiger?
Steve Sorensen, Planning and Zoning. This is a request for a variance to authorize the location of a detached garage built within the minimum road setback. The property is located in the single-family residential zoning district on real estate described as S4352 Fox Hill Circle, Lot 26 of Fox Hill Estates, part of the Northeast Quarter, Southeast Quarter, Section 27, Township 12 North, Range 6 East in the town of Baraboo. A land use permit, the permit for the residence and septic was issued in 1990. No permit was found for the detached garage. Previous appeals, SP 2610, decision postponed in November of 2010. No citations. Findings of fact, when reviewing a variance appeal, the Board of Adjustment looks at several criteria, including unique property limitations, the protection of the public interest, and proof of an unnecessary hardship. Section 7.18, paren 3, paren small b of the Sauk County Zoning Ordinance provides that for all Class C highways that are hereby established parallel to and a distance of 63 feet from the center line of such highway or 30 feet from the right-of-way line, whichever is greater. Surrounding properties, north, east, and west, developed residential properties, and to the south, developed and a few vacant residential properties. There is no indicated floodplain on this property. There is a panel number with an effective date of 12/15/09, and no wetlands are on this project area. Land Commission Town Recommendations. The Town Board of Baraboo has voted to approve the requested variance to allow for the garage to remain in its present location. Planning and Zoning Recommendation. A. All work on and use of the premises shall proceed with the plans and supplemental evidence presented at the hearing. It is the responsibility of the applicant to secure all required town, state, federal, and county permits within 1 year of the hearing date. County permits are required for the approval, including a land use permit. B. The Sauk County Conservation Planning and Zoning Office shall be granted permission to view the site to ensure compliance with these conditions and other relevant provisions of the Sauk County Codes. C. The authority to ensure compliance with these conditions is given to Sauk County Conservation and Planning and Zoning Department. If the department finds that any of these conditions have been violated, it is hereby authorized to take corrective action, either through suspension of the permits, citations, or by any means of enforcement that it has within its authority. And again, I need the pictures numbered. The 3 pages of pictures. Yes, it is. It's basically bring it back, right?
This is one of the reasons that the office now asked the state that'll fund that.
Yep.
Clarification, this structure that built here to be...
Correct. The owner did not build this. The owner took possession of this property, and he can give you the dates, but he did not construct the garage. He purchased the property in its current condition and found out through a survey that it was not in compliance, and that's where we brought him in to see if we could get this thing into compliance through this process.
Steve, when the garage was originally built, was there a survey in effect then? And then was there a newer one done later, and that's when it was found to be too close?
The original owner did not take out a permit for this garage, so we didn't have a... I mean, I have a permit for the house, but not for the garage, and it was just missed or... Correct. Okay. I didn't know that. There was a setback issue then. Okay.
Right.
Yes.
There is a 5 foot flat of
Yep, I've seen it.
Different question is to line on one side of property, put that back on the other side.
So under the county rules, you have a 10 and a 15 for an aggregate of 25 feet on your side yards. So you pick as an owner what side you want your 10 and what side you want your 15 on. And then you follow that through the construction of your lot through the years. So one side's always a minimum of 10, the other's a minimum of 15. Right. 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 Well, actually, 10 and 15. So if this is 10, and this has to be 15. It can. Right. One has to be, can't be any less than 10, and the other has to be whatever the less. So for an aggregate of 25, you're right. So, Dan, do you have any more on that one?
No.
Okay. So with that, I'll start on the pictures. I'm on 5-1. Top picture is just, I'm on the town road, just looking at the house, and the garage in question is on the right. And again, the lower picture is, again, I'm on the driveway, a little closer view of the garage. On page 2, top photo, I'm in the... it would be the southeast corner of the lot, looking at the garage. And this point is really about the closest point the road is to the garage, kind of at that area. And then that lower picture, I'm on the east property line, looking west at the garage. And then on page 3, again, I'm on the east side of the property, looking at that northeast corner of the garage that's within the setback. And the lower picture on page 3 is the north side of the garage. So I'm kind of in the backyard looking at the structure. So those are the photos. So this is the town road. Panning into, this is the garage in question. I'm at the driveway. You can see the fire sign and mailbox. And then the house. I'm looking west now, and this is the town road. I think it's Fox Hill Circle. This is the town road. Again, that southeast corner of the lot. The garage. In the front yard. Town road, close up of the garage, that's the east side of the garage, and then the east property line. And of the north side of the garage, that's the corner that's in within the setback, again, east property line. Another view of the garage. And east side of the property line. And the town road. I do. Greg Anderson, S4352, Fox Hill Circle. Well, as was stated there, we purchased the property in May of 2010. We had ordered a survey prior to buying the property, which we received 2 days before closing. So we did discover these things 2 days before the deal closed. My wife and I decided to go ahead and see what would happen afterwards. We made no assumptions. We did appeal in November of that year.
and it was tabled. I believe all of that is in there. We were advised to try and accommodate and buy some property from our neighbor, and we were informed that the board would be inclined to look at the setback if we were able to do that. We attempted, after I moved up here, after I retired and moved up here in June, I worked with my neighbor to come to an agreement, and we did, but there are extenuating circumstances in my description letter. At that point, I decided that I was resigned to the fact that there was a possibility that I would take that corner off that's encroaching on the side, side lot. And what I'm asking for here is, it is my intention to do that, and I'm asking if I can get a variance on the 18 inches that comes off of the center road. So, that's it in a nutshell. It's my intention to do that, to be in compliance on the side lot, and, the hardship is, it would be very difficult to move the structure. If you look at the plat there, you can see that it's sitting kind of cattywampus on there, and it's not like I could move it without further encroaching. Well, I can't answer that. I mean, the hardship is unique because it's been there since 1996. It wasn't discovered until 2010. I do not believe that there was any surveys of that property after maybe he's built. I'm guessing that would have come up when I hired the surveyor. Well, it's been there for 16 years as far as I can see with no ill effects. I believe that it fits in with the character of the neighborhood. And as I said in my letter, we kind of feel the garage is a part of the charm of our residence.
I was just going to ask, there was no survey before you bought it. You just asked for a survey when you purchased it?
Right. When
there was no existing survey?
Well, that's right. That's the reason that it was. We were originally from Illinois, and when we purchased the property, I asked, well, where's the survey? At least where I came from at that time, that is furnished. And I was told that there was none. So I asked, does anybody mind if I get a survey? Which I did.
Because it seemed to me that this is like a subdivision, isn't it?
Well, there possibly could have been a survey when it was originally built. I don't know that. At least no survey was produced to me. Now, the house, as Steve said, the house was built originally, and then the garage was built some years later. So I don't know what that survey would have shown.
But I would think there would be record of original survey when the lot was, before the house was built. And I guess, Steve, why was there not a building permit when that was, who's flipped up there, the township, or?
There was a town of Baraboo permit, which I had a copy of. It was
so there was a permit?
Not with Sauk County.
Oh.
With the town.
Henry, you have a question, or Nick?
I'm a little bit confused that you had the survey taken prior to home.
That's correct.
Found it in violation.
That's correct.
So when you signed the contract, you were aware of that.
That's correct. I moved up here, it was almost a year ago today. I had approached my neighbor prior to that, even though, because we rented back to the people we bought from for some time after that. And I had approached the neighbor to see if he was, amenable to it. And like I said, there's a full description in one of those letters there to put things in.
You purchased on the
No, no. It's my baby here, so I'm trying to. Well, I don't know if I was rolling it. Yeah, maybe hoping. You know, I mean, my attorney advised me at the time. You know, that he said, you know, Sauk County is, you know, can be tough. So I mean, it was, you know, we were assuming nothing, but you know, hoping for the best. And like I say, I followed up with, being that I was unable to do it, that's why I'm asking for this road setback. Right.
At this time, you're already looking at that, right? That I said, right?
Yes, that's
well, what was your best possible day setback?
That's correct.
Do you know what the center line that garage corner is? Yes. Question 4. I wonder if you had a measure that spot.
I believe that it was in compliance to the center line.
Okay.
Because we measured it, is that correct?
Right.
The center line was in compliance. It's the right away, I believe, it's the issue.
Steve Sorensen, Planning and Zoning. I just wanted to follow up on your comment, Henry. I did measure the center line setback because I didn't know that either. And the minimum is 63, and from the closest point, I had 65, so I had about 2 feet. And this is just using a tape. I'm not a surveyor, but I estimated, you know, from the center to the closest point. So they met the center line setback. The other point I want to bring up, a couple of points, is the driveway going into this. When I pulled into the driveway, my first response was, why am I here? Because the driveway is just under 100 feet long, where connects up with the town road. So I'm sitting on the driveway looking at this garage, and it's like, why is there a setback problem here? And then I see the town road, and it kind of comes around. There's kind of a circle there, and that he gets kind of pinched on that southeast corner. So he does meet center line. The other thing is, the reason this has taken so long, I have been working with Greg. I would call him every month or two for the last 2 years saying, Greg, I really want you to work this out with your neighbor. If we could just buy that foot and a half or the 2 feet or whatever it is on the side yard, you don't have to cut anything off. You know, we could just put a little notch around it. And we got real close. I thought we just about had a deal, and then there was something with his mortgage that threw it up in the air again. I said, listen, if it's been 2 years, if we can't get this worked out with the bank, if the owner just can't make it happen, I got to bring you back, and we'll just see how it falls. So I tried to give him every opportunity to kind of work that out with the neighbor, and it just couldn't happen. So, yeah. So it gets back to Dave's question. This is a platted subdivision. So in a platted subdivision, they'll lay out the roads and the lots at basically before the subdivision is created. There's a plat that filed with Register of Deeds. That's downstairs. But when they actually go to put things on the ground, the road isn't normally put in the surveyed area. So there can be a couple of feet difference. And in this case, the road was placed a little bit farther away than how it was laid out in the plat, where the lot lines or the corner pins for the front of the lot, that's basically the right-of-way line. So that's kind of the discrepancy. The road was just laid out differently when they laid it out, and that's just part of construction. And then the other component is the garage was built. Again, I heard it had the town permit, but again, the county doesn't have a permit on that garage. Never did. Yes. Right. And that's not uncommon. Just the pavers, they're not paying attention to, you know, stakes or pins. It just, you know. Right, right. He's probably lost a little bit on his side. Yep. Yep.
Well, talking about pilot service, we're talking about a medical base.
Not, no. I couldn't tell you the difference. I haven't looked. Just.
This is troubling to me. I ran into this before, being a building inspector. I had one neighbor have his plot surveyed,
yep.
place put in, built a garage. 2 years later, turned same surveyor up. Next door neighbor has his plot surveyed, but it overlapped two feet. So sometimes I wonder about how this could happen. That's the truth, and
wow.
It's so, and I talked to a surveyor about it, because it's not a science, it's an art. So I think you need to look at that a little bit. I'm really, you know, concerned about this one because I don't know what the size survey was and what this survey is. They don't compare. Or if they're off by 2 inches or a foot or whatever, that's a real problem. Maybe the garage was staked out.
Yeah, I can't say yes or no on that. That's a good point, though, Henry. Yeah, I could have that for you next month if...
I would like to see that.
Sure.
I'm looking at the whole thing is if we give the information front corner, there we have high corner.
Yeah.
But,
what are
you
doing?
You can say that the township maybe the measure. However, as a builder, maybe the builder did build. So what the builder did the whole thing. I have a problem with hardship. That's what I'm kind of hoping.
Built up.
Great. I will look into that. I will have that for your next meeting. Great. Greg Anderson? What's the date? I could.
That's acceptable.
Sure. Do I need to go to the building here and get the survey myself? For the original plat, I assume you're talking about? Okay. Okay. Very good. 28. Thank you very much.
Celebration.
We're the center of the road, and as we all know, roads do have the 10.
Further away. according to what the O-dash for X, so the back front.
Perfect. folks have part.
Aye.
Aye.
Henry, that's one of those that you will have to hear you.
Oh, pardon me. It's good. Thank you. Well, I'm here for the here. That's for safe.
I want to go first, like, not take a second stuff.
I'll move.
Okay. I also have a draw on the road right away, like, I was supposed to drive away.
Great. Steve Sorensen, Planning and Zoning. Today's request is for a special exception permit to authorize the location and operation of a campground with more than one residence and filling and grading within 300 feet of a body of water. History: the property is located in a wet commercial zone district and a shoreline protection zoning district on real estate described as S5927 U.S. Highway 12, part of the Northwest Corridor, Southwest Corridor, Section 24, Town 11 North, Range 6 East, Town of Daru. Permits: the department has records of various permits being issued to this property dating back to 1996. May 23rd of 1996, a variance for a structural repair to a non-conforming house was granted to the previous owner, and there are no citations on the property. Findings of fact: the Sauk County Board of Adjustment, after investigation, viewing of the proposed sites, and public hearing, may authorize the location of specific uses in the rec commercial district, provided that the location is consistent with the intent of this ordinance and does not significantly injure the public health, safety, or welfare. When reviewing a special exception proposal for special exceptions in the Shoreland Protection District, the Board of Adjustment looks at several criteria, including the conditions in sections 8.08(3) and the provisions specified in sections 8.14(3)(b) and 8.14(3)(c). Sections 8.08(3)(a) provides that a special exception permit is required for filling or grading of any area which is within 300 feet landward of the ordinary high water mark of navigable water and which has surface drainage toward the water and on which there is any of the topographic conditions listed below. 1. Any filling or grading on slopes of more than 20%. 2. Filling or grading of more than 2,000 square feet on slopes of 12 to 20%. And 3. Filling or grading of more than 4,000 square feet on slopes less than 12%. Surrounding properties to the east, west, and north, ag, forested, and a few residential properties. To the south, agricultural, forested, and a few residential and commercial properties. Floodplain panel Effective date 12/15/09. There is no flood zone located within this property, and there are no mapped wetlands indicated, but I would disagree with that. There are mapped. I read that wrong. There are mapped wetlands on this property. It's in their driveway. They're redoing a driveway, and there are some wetlands near that driveway, the culvert area, and we'll talk about that later. The pond and the creek and the property are navigable waters and subject to the Shoreland Protection Ordinance. Land Commission and Town Recommendation. The Town Board of Baraboo is aware that an appeal has been made to the Board of Adjustment for this project. The applicant recently rezoned the property to bring the uses in compliance with the zoning ordinance. Five, Planning and Zoning Recommendations. Planning and Zoning recommends the following conditions be considered by the Board of by the Board should the Board grant a special exception permit. A, all work on and use of the premises shall proceed with the plans and supplemental evidence presented at the hearing. It is the responsibility of the applicant to secure all required town, state, federal, and county permits within 1 year of the hearing date. County permits required for this approval include permits for the construction of buildings and filling and grading. B, no work shall be commenced prior to receiving the Board of Adjustment decision letter and securing the required permits. C, erosion control shall be installed and maintained until the site is stabilized, revegetated per plans submitted at the time of the application. D, this project shall not increase stormwater runoff on the neighboring properties. E, Sauk County Conservation Planning and Zoning shall be granted permission to view the site to ensure compliance with these conditions and other relevant provisions of the Sauk County ordinances. The power to ensure compliance with these conditions is given to the Sauk County Conservation and Planning and Zoning. If the department finds that any of these conditions have been violated, they are hereby authorized to take corrective action, either through suspension of the permit, citations, or by any means of enforcement that it has within their power. F, failure by the applicant to follow all of these conditions set forth by the Sauk County Board of Adjustment is grounds for suspension or revocation of the special exception permit and possible enforcement action. In order to have the special exception permit reinstated after suspension, the applicant must comply with all the conditions established by the Board of Adjustment as determined by the Sauk County Conservation Planning and Zoning Director or appeal in front of the Board of Adjustment. In order to have the special exception permit reinstated after revocation, the applicant must appear in front of the Board of Adjustment for a new hearing and comply with all requirements as outlined in this letter. They already have taken the original house down to build the new house that's in the photos. As far as other buildings, I'll have you talk to the applicant on. So I'm looking at the photos. I do have 12 pages, and I'm going to have any label those put there. That's right.
Yes.
Break it, you bought it.
Yeah, yes, that was me.
Right, so we'll start with 5-1. Page 1, top picture is I'm on Highway 12 and I'm looking south. You'll see the mailbox and driveway and fire number. That's to the north. The lower picture is the entrance to the property looking south and west, and you'll see their house is the red kind of in between the trees there. That's the home right now. Gone. Yes. Okay, page 2, I'm in the driveway looking west, and that's the pond site. Again, the lower picture is, again, I'm just on the driveway, kind of looking west again, moving away from the pond into the building site area. Again, page 3, I'm on the driveway looking at the buildings on the property. And again, the lower picture, I'm on the driveway kind of looking at a green area between the driveway and Highway 12. On page 4, Donna's put up a fence, and I'm assuming that's like at the new highway right-of-way line. So the Highway 12 is to the left of this picture, and to the right of the picture is the set of homes. So this is the green area, if you will. And in the background where the picnic tables were was the historic campsite, campground, if you will. And then the lower photo is the same spot, but I'm looking north at the buildings and the fence on the right. On 5, I'm on the east side of the house, looking west at the house. And again, the picture below that, I'm looking at the RV camping area. And if you look in the background, you'll see the driveway and the permanent, but the RV is located around the campground. And page 6, a little closer view of the permanent RV camp, if you want to call it that, and just the driveways going in that area. On page 7, just a close-up view of the RVs and the driveway, and those RVs are kind of on the west side of that camping area. Yes. Yep. This is the new location. And then the lower driveway is the driveway they're going to use to get to a future building site and possibly some tent camp sites. Now this driveway, if you look on either side of the driveway, you'll see some cattails in the lower part of the photo. That's kind of a little remnant wetland that the driveway cut through. And there's some more wetland plants on both sides of this driveway, and that's the wetlands that's referred to as part of this application. On page 8, this is the end of that driveway as we're coming out of the wetlands and the stream crossing. There's culverts below us where I'm taking this picture, and it's opening up into the ponds off to the right, and if you go to the left, it's going to be the future building site and tent sites. And then it just shows the culvert. You can just barely make out a little trickle of water going through those culverts. The second home would go, I believe, somewhere back to the right, or to the left. I am now on the on page 9, and I'm on the south side of the pond looking north. So this is where they're going to put in a new diversion to take that stream, if you will, and divert that stream flow around the pond. And essentially, they're going to disconnect the pond from the stream. So there's going to, so this first photo, this lawn, if you will, is going to have a new waterway installed going around the pond. So this is the area where there's going to be some filling and grading. That lower picture is on the far west field, and this is the future building site of that second home. On 10, again, both 10 and that lower picture are just different views of that west farm field, and this will be the second home site. Again, from that same field, I'm looking north across just another view of the pond from that farm field. And from that same spot, I can see the house to the east in that lower picture. And now I'm on the west side of the house looking east on page 12. What was difficult, I took a lot of pictures, and maybe the best thing is take a look at Linda's photo, because you know, when you're on the ground walking this, there's a lot of ground to cover, and it kind of gets lost because there's just so much area. Where if you look at the air photo, it kind of brings it all together. So as you go through the meeting, if you've got questions, we can kind of talk about that. Basically, this is going to be a number of issues. One is they want to, the original campground was kind of gobbled up with the new highway. So this is relocating the original campground to a new area. So that's one request. Right, that this is giving, but they've always had a campground. This is just a new location because of the highway going through the old. So that's one request. The other is for filling and grading, because we're in a shoreline zone. There's some wetlands out there. There's some filling and grading associated with the new driveway and some landscaping that's going to occur with this diversion and the new home. That's the second request. And the third would be that second residence. Right. For each issue. Yeah, great. Yes, ma'am. Yep. Yep.
Where is the current
code? Yep. Right. So if you look at this group of campers, this row of white squares right here. There's like a hill behind the campers, and then it drops off, and this little valley here behind the campers is the original stream. So that goes into the pond at this location, and then this little white spot is the spillway that the water leaves the pond right now. So the water from this stream goes directly into this pond. Basically, the stream was dammed up to create this pond, and that's the principal spillway, and that flows through here and kind of goes out the Skillet Creek. There's a dam associated with this pond. DNR has told the applicant that they don't have specs on that dam, and they have to bring that dam up to spec. And because it's online, it's got to be built to current condition. So by rerouting that stream, so what they're going to do is where the road is, they're going to divert that stream south and connect it back to where it comes up below the dam. So when it does rain, the water basically is going to take this route instead of a direct path over the pond. Then they don't have, right, then they can leave this structure in place because it's offline. This is a large wetland complex here, so I suspect groundwater is, and if you know about the driveway, there's wetlands plants right by the driveway, so they probably have groundwater. That pond, even without, that stream dries up, by the way, in the summer, so it's basically groundwater fed now. All right, so I'm at Highway 12, the entrance to the driveway. You saw the fire number. You see the pond in the background. Driveway going into the building site. See the house. I'm looking south at the green area, and then Highway 12. That's looking south. On the driveway, looking at 12, I'm looking north now. And now west. And this is west now at the pond. And I'll come into the building sites now. The second building in the background is the house, and the other more or less outbuildings. This is that green area between the driveway and Highway 12. Another view of the pond as we get closer to the buildings. And as you can see, Highway 12 off to the right. Complex of buildings, that's the new house, and the driveway going south, and you'll see the campground in the background. Getting closer to the campground, some of the driveways going into the campsites and campground. In the new house. Oh, hey, we started it, we may as well end it this way, right? Oh, it's terrible. There's one little button, if you forget to push it, this is what you get. Oh, man. Yeah, right. We'll just kind of keep it flat. All right. So, in the driveway coming into the camping area, the west side of the lot and the house right. Another close up of the campgrounds, how they're set up and used. Looking east. You can see a little trickle of water through there, standing on the culvert of the road. The main water. They're going up the wet fields. There is a agreement. This will be reshaped to divert that water around the pond. Another view of the pond. I believe I'm standing up on that west field. I believe Donna uses that as a hay field, right? I believe the trees are the property. In the
Right.
Yes. I mean, is this now recreation?
Yes, let me tell you, I've been working with Donna and Brian Simmert, and the county board voted last Monday or Tuesday night, last week, and that was adopted to rec commercial. So the zoning was just approved.
That field project, your office, yeah.
Absolutely.
No problems with it.
Nope. Well, DNR's been out there. I've been out there, and this is an option without having to alter that dam. This is a means to get them to keep the pond at the current location and just divert the water around it.
And as far as the information overwhelmed with it, I got to break it down. Actually, what we're looking for is for a road to be accepted, second rush.
Yep.
And also widen it by the
Yep, so the road's going to be wider, but it's not going to encroach upon the wetlands. So what they're going to do is more or less build like a vertical wall, if you will, and they're going to talk about this to get a wider footprint to get access through the wetlands without filling the wetlands. Great. Yep. I think the dam came up when DOT came in as far as problems with the dam and what should be done, and this was one means of doing it without having to redo the dam.
Donna Macy, S5927, it was heavy toll. Derbu. I'm just nervous. Yeah. When we bought the property, the DOT said that they weren't going to, they had a letter saying they weren't going to touch the property, so we were just buying a 100-year-old house in a campground because we take care of people inside the house, so it was just perfect for us. And then after 6 months, they changed the highway because they lost, taken out part of that port, the rock cropping at the lower part of Highway 12, which then that made that right-of-way go right through our house, the house. Yeah. So with all that changing, then our driveway access is, we're going to lose the driveway access where we're at, and then it's coming off of, which we think anyhow, at this point, off of Lehman, which cuts right through where the tent camping is right now. We have already see where it is now, where we have the tent camping now, that's where and where the house is, that's where the trailers used to be. And in compliance, we had to have a full circle driveway for emergency vehicles and stuff. But when we started all of it with DOT, we were going to build on the back side of the pond. And then the whole driveway thing came through, and the DOT only gave us 18 months to rebuild. And this has been 3.5 years doing the township and the county thing, and just it was just a mess. So we ended up just moving the trailers, building the house there, and then the tent camping used to be where the trailers are now. But because the driveway is coming down right through that area, we were losing all the water and electric lines over there, so then we had to move all the trailers out where the tent campers were. So then we moved we moved all the tent campers where the trailers used to be, because there was no water and electric anyhow. But now the driveway is going to be taken that area. So now we have to find a place to put the tent campers. And we cannot have them in that meadow area, because like Steve said, most of the time it's dry, but if we get a really, really heavy rain like we had a couple times, that just floods right out, you know. So during this whole permitting process to get a building permit, the DNR came out, and it's been interesting, needless to say. So instead of having to build a $50,000 dam, which at that point we didn't even have a house, we just said, this is so ridiculous. And so then we, at some point, wanted to have our kids build a house on the property to help us farm and take care of the campground, which right now that roadway is used for the agricultural driveway for Dan to get to the backfield. And so that's basically what we're making all these changes to kind of come into compliance with. You know, Steve's been working with us, the township's been working with us since day one. It's not just your typical campground. It's by referral only. It's by word of mouth. We give out gift certificates at no cost. Or some people do buy them in businesses and stuff. And people who've had challenging situations, no charge. They can come and they barter their stay with us, trees, plants, birdhouses, whatever. If they don't have anything, books, we're trying to build a library out there, art supplies, they can just come and help us on the ground. You know, we've got nettles, we've got, you know, this, that, and the other to kind of help take care of. So that's really kind of what we do out there. And one of the big questions I wanted to ask, is there a start timeline and an expiration date on the permits? Because we have to raise the funds in order to do this, to build this dam. You know, I mean, is there like a boundary, like you have the begin date and a finish date? Or is it kind of open-ended a little bit? Give us a little grace period. Included? It's going to take us, we take a loss on the dam front every year, but we know that, and Jewel takes payment plans. with everything, with the bids, we know it's going to be $83,000. And we did not get a reimbursement from the DOT. And our debt is the same as, our mortgage is the same as what it was when we bought the property. But we know it's going to be about $83,000. And that's going to take us about 5 years to raise that. Because we can only put in so much per year. Okay. There's a lot of grace and mercy coming our way. We're hoping that, but we just want that, we don't want to have to take out a loan, because we can't get a loan, and so it's, you know, we're just kind of like at our capacity, I guess, which you could say, and we won't be building a second residence, I know I mentioned it before, because we won't have any, we won't have to have the second residence if we don't purchase the other farm property to the south of us. The only reason we'd have the second residence is to farm, to actually have cattle and stuff like that, because we don't have enough, you know, acreage for that kind of thing. No, we are, and we just want to just come here one time. Can we say 3 years? Okay. Oh, okay.
I'm curious about the orchard. In other words, all right, this house. So,
doesn't Right. We are going to, we have to do maintenance on the dam. But according to the DNR, because the water, when we have a lot of water, it's considered online. Like there's a water source that comes into it and feeds it. If we diverted the right waterway to the back side, which I think that's west, then it takes it offline. So then we're not under the hand of the DNR to put in a $50,000 dam that we can regulate to bring, to raise and lower the water level. Right now it's just a spillway. If it goes high, it goes over. If it's low, then the pond's low. It doesn't freeze over. We have 8 or more springs that feed it. And you know, that was one of the things that the engineering firm had said, you know, if you take it offline, is your pond going to dry up? And I'm like, most of the time, that waterway is dry, and it's all underground water that's feeding the pond, because the pond doesn't freeze over in the winter, only in like a little section. You know, it's open water that's being set up there. It is a private pond. Right, because if you take it offline, then the DNR, they're required, I guess, to inspect dams. And we never thought it was like that kind of a dam. We just thought it's a culvert. but the Connie was his name. He said that being the water source feeds the pond or comes into the pond is a water feed. If we take it offline, then the DNR dam inspections, it's not, they don't have to come out anymore because it's offline. And it was, we did prove to the DNR with our boundary neighbors and our previous owners, and George and Kyoko Archibald, who are our neighbors, that the pond kind of goes over and creates a wetland over there. Just collecting information, we were able to find that they do have a permit for that pond when it was done. And when it flooded out and the dam collapsed, I don't know, I remember what year that was, but the Army Corps of Engineers came and they did the design and they redid it, and it was just a lack of information on their part. Well, we didn't have a problem with the inspections and stuff. In fact, we called the DNR to come and help us, but that was opening a can of worms. Because we never took care of a pond before. We never had a dam before. You know, we just thought, you know, we thought they were going to be helpful. And at the time, why it was such a sensitive issue at the time is because when Dan went to the meeting, the DNR weren't even looking at our pond. They were looking at a short water pond that was at the top of the hill that didn't have permits and that kind of thing that had been put in, hand dug or whatever, by that guy. And so Dan was explaining to him that you don't even have the correct pond to write pictures, and that we did have permits. And I don't remember what he worked with the county, but anyhow, I can't remember what his name was. He approved it, and we gave him copies of the state seal sticker and all that from the other plans from the Army Corps of Engineers. So we were, once they got that information, then they said that we were fine, but we still, if we didn't want to have to come into putting in a $50,000 dam, that we had to channel that water to make it offline. And that's just a requirement that they do. And it was just bad timing all around.
Channel the water.
It was $50,000 for that. About $24,000 for the new driveway. The only thing that's going over, we're not, and like I said in my letter, we're not asking for any more sites or anything like that. We just needed we do something different there. We need the commercial insurance because we take in, and we have people that come from all different states, and we're just trying to move the tank camping to the one back side of the property, away from the highway. And just for some privacy, they have some unique situations going on in their life, and we just kind of want them to have a safe place to come. They don't have to call and make reservations. There you go. Yeah, so we're just trying to move the tent camping aspect out to the other side. And in order to do that, the fire marshal said that we had to change driveway. Because we have to have a two-pass. It can't be a field road. It has, because of an emergency thing, and oh, goodness. So all that kind of came into play. But Ed is here. He's that part of the engineering. So. Well, and Steve and Brian and Randy, this Steve and this Ryan from the township just said, keep hanging in there, Donna. We're going to get you through this mess. It's just been really taxing.
I'm Ed Lilla. I'm 158 Northwood Street, Spring Green, Wisconsin. These are the same exhibits in your packet. They're just for to be able to point to things that are blown up. We were hired by the Mises to assist them with the permitting process on this driveway. As Donna explained, there's a couple of different issues going on there. As a result of the highway reconfiguration, they want to relocate their camping facilities to the west of the property. It brings up a number of different issues. First of which is just the access over there. We have that the serpentine driveway, and as Steve explained, there are wetlands within that corridor. The Mises hired a separate consultant a few years ago to delineate those, and they're basically off the side of the embankment of the current driveway that's there. So in order for them to get back there, the township requires emergency access, certain width of the driveway. We have some drawings in your plan. Basically what we're looking to do is kind of the essentially retaining wall to either side of the driveway that would support that, and then they're going to attach a railing system to it. And that's really the most costly of what they're looking to do out there. Ancillary to all this, the DNR, through their workings on the wetland issues, the SAM issue came to light. DNR used to inspect all the dams with their own staff. Within the last few years, what they've done is they put that burden back on the regulated community. Depending on the hazard rating of the dam, they have various hazard ratings. That would require the Mises to have that dam inspected anywhere from 1 to 10 years by a professional engineer. It also, by moving this water offline, significantly kind of increases the safety of that structure without that kind of loading of the upstream water into it. That's really where the potential for failure comes into play. So it was really through the Mises working with the DNR that they're basically to make the dam safer, to make it less of a financial burden, basically go around it with this intermittent stream that's there. We have been working with DNR and the Corps of Engineers. There's a number of different permits that are in process with them, as well as what we have to do here with the colony, and they're all related to the grading activities, basically any impacts to wetlands, which we're trying to avoid any, then the waterway work. The township had their engineer review the plans for the erosion potential, this bypass, and the erosion control on the driveway itself, and I believe they were all right with that, and as well as DNR is looking at all these things as well in the county. So really with that, I guess if there's any questions on, you know, what we're trying to do there, basically, you know, provide them the access to the west, make a safer and less regulatory burdensome pond, and then basically to minimize our impacts to wetlands by building this driveway as wide as we can, but staying in the footprint of the embankments that are there. Questions? Thank you.
Peter Scholes.
Yep.
I do. Vera Scholes, my property does adjoin the Meisey property to the south. It's S6085 Highway 12. Terrible. I live in the corner of Lehman Road and Highway 12. I own property on both sides of the road now, and I am greatly impacted by the new highway. We'll be losing my home. but in advance of that, last year I went through about 8 months of working with the planning and zoning and the town commission and so forth, and I got a certified survey map now mapping my 72 acres in 4 building lots that can be sold. I have no money, and so I'm going to have to be selling lots in order to move my residence when the time comes. My concern today is this second residence that they want on their property. Do you have a copy of their intent for the use of their had started their proposed negotiations to buy my property. At that time, I did have one lot for sale, a 10-acre lot, and the negotiations ended in the first week in March because they wanted to tie up the rest of it, and I have nothing else for sale at this time, so there are no negotiations going on now for them to buy the property. I don't know. The way the report was given by the planning people, the second residence was going to be an incidental thing with the relocation of the campground, and to me it looks like it's their primary source, primary use for the property. And they don't have any cropland now. That can be used, I guess, because of their wetlands. And it would be maybe 2 or 3 years before I feel comfortable in selling my property that joins them now because of negotiations with the state, the DOT. So I am just wondering, I understand there are many different kinds of commercial zoning. I did appear at the Planning and Zoning Committee meeting when they were talking about permitting the rezone from RC35 to commercial recreation. Then I got the idea that the recreation, that type of commercial that they finally were granted, I guess just this week, was for the campground. But they're operating this other business. They do it on a barter basis, and they have a little retail sales going on to convert some of this barter stuff into cash so they can get money to maintain their business. And I'm wondering if that all goes with the campground. Is there a loophole in there that you guys can permit all this stuff under the recreational commercial? I don't understand it. I'm confused with what's really going on with them. But I wondered if you knew the use of their property now. I have no idea. I was given it in the early part of March, 1st of March. Apparently, they want to expand the business. I would like to sell my property, which is right on Highway 12, as commercial. And I guess if you have enough money and you go to all these committees and everything and pay the permits and everything, the RC, the 35, really doesn't mean much. Because if you've got the right money and get the permits, you can talk to you people and you'll grant anything that the zoning people bring to you. I doubt that this LLC is that old. Yes, I have. Yes, I have. It is the Lazy Driveway that depends on my property. They're going to go from Lehman Road with an access service road to satisfy the driveways for the 4 or 5 people north of me, and it'll be cul-de-sac at the Misey farm, and I will have quite a time with eminent domain before they get that property. Yes, there is. It's a very unsettled neighborhood.
So
I'm on your application. They requested under rec commercial zoning, which is 7.08, and then if you go to paren 2, paren small b, and then look at 17 and 20, and what 17 is under rec commercial is the campground. So they're asking for essentially a move or a relocation of the old campground to the new site. So, and that was discussed today. 20 is for the residential quarters for the owner, proprietor, commercial tenant, employee, or caretaker in excess of one single family dwelling permitted. So they're asking for the second dwelling under rec commercial district. So that's what we're going through too, is the second dwelling. Again, it's for the owner, proprietor, tenant, employee, caretaker.
Okay, so that's not
our right. It's a second dwelling. Well, and Donna can help me with this, but I believe Donna does foster care. Foster care, it is a permitted use in all of the districts. I don't regulate that. That's allowed. So all she's asking for today is the campground and the second dwelling. And the second dwelling is for what I just described. Right, and that's chapter 8, right? I do not know. I would ask the town how much of that. You'll have to come up to talk to that. I don't know how much of the total was.
Okay.
And Randy can.
Yeah.
What is this? What is the
I'm not familiar with that letter, Nick, so I'll have Donna talk to you on that.
We'll have them in order.
So
that's okay. That's a good question.
So, yep.
Okay.
I do. Okay, I'm Randy Putcomer, S5828 Langman Road, Baraboo. I'm on the Baraboo Town Board and also on the Baraboo Plan Commission. And at the time when we looked at the rezone, the town actually acted on the rezone of this property back in 2007. But due to all the complications with the DOT, number of things with this bypass being up in the air and so forth, the rezone just kind of got put on the back burner. In fact, on the town level, we thought that it had already carried forward because the campground has been there for years and years. It's just a relocation at this time of an existing campground. So at that time when she came to us for the rezone, we as a town advised her to do the entire property because she did not have any idea. The DOT really wasn't even sure how much of her land she was going to take, whether she was going to have any existing buildings left or anything at all. So due to the nature of the property, very little agricultural useful land or anything else, it just seemed to be a good fit to do the entire property so she could move forward and be prepared to where we are today. But like I say, I'd like to stress the fact that this rezone that just took place on the county level wasn't something that just came forward to get the special exception. It actually moved through the town 5 years ago. Any other questions? Correct. No. if it'd be okay if I could take this back and share it with Steve Cahoon, our Plan Commission Chair, and then respond, please. Okay. Correct.
Hi, I'm Donna Maisy. The letter. The letter, what it is through Stark County Human Services and through the Cullen Managed Care Organizations, we are licensed for adult foster care. That's what it is. An adult family home is where, you know, like if you had small children, it's called a foster home. Well, we have adults that are in foster care. They can't live independently. They need to be supervised, just overseen. They take their own medications. We don't offer any medical cares or anything like that. It's just, you're just kind of, you know, they live with you, and they're your foster kids, but they happen to be adults. It's not a business, and I don't want anybody to think that it's a business. What it is you have a licensing through the county and the state, and one and two bed, we're certified as a one and two bed, so we can have up to two people who live with us. And then we're in the future, being we were going to build the new house, we said that we would potentially be able to be certified for a 3-4 bed, which means that we could have up to 3 or 4 people as foster care come and live with us, because the house would be built bigger. After it was built, it would be bigger, and we could have it as handicap accessible. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A family member. No, our son would be living in this house. Just the house that we're in right now is where the licensing is where I'm at right now, in the house that's built. Yes. Yeah.
This would be a new house.
They would remain with us where we're at. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, how that works out is, and maybe when we spoke, Brianna, back in March, or the person that we talked to and gave that letter to, there was maybe some not enough questions asked, or maybe I didn't offer enough information. What we do in lieu of, with our accountant, Patty Spraggs, there's people who have little or nothing and who need a place of safety, and if they have nothing, they can barter there, stay with us, where they're safe, they're not living on the river, they're not underneath the bridge, and there is no funding source to provide them access to recreational opportunities like we do. And so, in lieu of money, even though we do have to claim it underneath our LLC with Patty, whether it's books, or whether it's helping us fence or clean up the pond, raking algae to dry it out by the trees. Some bring plants, some bring books. We take that on ourselves. We are not funded by any government agency. Our family makes the decision to pay that mortgage, not anybody else. And whether we take a loss on our business, that's our discretion. We have the Amish built 3 little small little buildings. They bring us bikes. We teach people when I do respite. Respite is where somebody needs a break. Maybe somebody has another adult family home like me who go, woo, you know. So we give them a little breathing space. We take their foster adults, and they come hang out with us for the day. And we have a lot of volunteers that come, and maybe they do oil painting, or maybe they just sketch. Maybe they wash out the bird baths or sell bird feeders because they have
a significant limitation. We do not sell anything on our land. We don't sell anything. There's not a retail purpose. In the future, we want to have an area, which we have explained to boundary neighbors, that artists, local artists, whether you do photography, whether you do oil paintings, whether you do wood carving, we will build an area where these different art, local artists, long-distance artists, maybe you're a teacher and you can teach about rocks or whatever it might be. We'll provide you an area to come and set your stuff up. We sell nothing. You can put your business cards there, but we, as an LLC, want to hire special needs individuals through the RARC program to work on our campground to do the different things. And they would take care of cleaning that area where these artists would have their activities, but it's just an opportunity for people to be aware, and it's an opportunity for people who are and other people who are very willing, have a willing heart. And it's not about money. It's their gift, their talent, their skill. That's what it's all about.
Randy Putcomer, Town of Baraboo.
This was just the way it was presented to us, that she was going to maintain their original residence, and that the second house, if built, was going to be for her son. And so everything in there is exactly the way it was presented to the town. No, we do not have a problem whatsoever. No, in the ordinances, what she's asking for in her special exception, when we looked at the county ordinances, they all are allowable uses, you know, the campground and so forth. And if possible, I'd like to speak personally, from a personal note, what Donna and her family is doing. I want to really commend her, because 10 years ago, our lives were changed, and there needs to be someone, someplace in Sauk County that will reach out and do something for families, for not just the individuals involved, but for the rest of the family that go through these circumstances. And the fact that she's willing to be like a family member, I want to commend her from that's on a personal basis. Thank you.
Sometimes you feel like you're in a drought. I'm Donna Maizzi. I'm something I don't usually share too often. But Ian Randy has the strength to come up here. I do too. 29 years ago, when we were on vacation in Illinois, our third son, while I was pregnant with our daughter, fell and had a traumatic brain injury. And through all these years, we've had a lot of situations come up. And with that traumatic brain injury, and with his seizures, it alters everybody's life. And when you have people who come up and say, not that kind of thing, not those kind of people, we'll take everybody but Brad. That started a fire in me. And ignorance, the definition of ignorance, it just means lack of knowledge. Before we found the property where we've been at, we went through this whole process, and the township knows, and Steve and Brian know. We tried buying farms, 110 acres, 82 acres. When we got through the process, the town boards always proved it. When we started getting through to try and explain to them the adult foster care, they said, not that kind of thing, not that kind of deal. And it's just that people don't understand. And they don't need to be institutionalized. They just need supervision. That's what I wanted to say. Category? Definitely feel sick. It's one time. Okay. Let's see. Great.
A little bit of what happened to the dam.
already laid it.
They would have to get permits from the township and county. So everything would be built configuration. Okay.
Actually, you didn't understand what he was doing, although they always couldn't buy it.